This hour by Frederick Remington, fully cooked, ready-to-eat bacon. Exclusive, no refrigeration, 10-year extended shelf life bacon. The thickest media center-cut bacon in the industry at fullycookedbacon.com.
Hi, everybody. Kate Delaney, America Tonight. Boy, so much fallout from that duck boat capsizing in Branson, Missouri. Politically speaking, there's fallout as well from the Putin camp as that summit grows a little bit more toxic for the president. And speaking of the president, on Twitter he makes an all-caps threat against Iran and also launches some attacks on Robert Mueller, of course, over the Russia investigation. What a way to start the week. I'm joining you from Florida. Hope you had a fabulous weekend. Let's dive straight in to what happened on that duck boat capsizing. It was shocking, and I think it certainly is the, the conversation in the backyard, because so many of us have taken these duck boats. I've told the story before, but I'll say it again if you haven't heard it. I've probably ridden the duck boat maybe a half a dozen times plus. I did it in the Midwest when I was at my cousin's wedding at the Dells in Wisconsin. It was wonderful. It was a great tour. You really got a sense of both what being on the land and, of course, being in the water, and I think that creates some of that excitement in those amphibious vehicles. So people are always wanting to jump on them. That's why they're incredibly popular, and there's several companies running them. I did it in Philadelphia as well, and, of course, there was an accident in Philadelphia that we know about, too, that happened several years ago and scared a lot of people, and there have been several accidents for various reasons. This time we're talking about Branson, Missouri. The weather was horrific. The boat was in the water. It took a big drop, took on water, and 17 people died as a result of that. And the salvage crews were out on Monday trying to piece all of it together so that as the NTSB investigates this, they have a better sense of how it took on water, what happened when it capsized, and they were able to pull it out because it was 80 feet down below, really there on the bottom of the lake. And in trying to gather information, they've talked to people that some of them had little snippets of it from land where they saw that the boat was sinking and taking on water and really couldn't do anything about it. There were people that immediately jumped in boats and tried to aid in the rescue. The weather, again, was absolutely terrible, and I think that this is part of the question. Why did, and part of this investigation, why did they go out there in the first place instead of canceling the duck boat tours for that day? And some of the early answers were that the weather looked bad, but then there were clearing points. It sounds pretty it sounds pretty suspicious to me, or just a lack of not really understanding how awful this is. It certainly is a terrible tragedy, and there is calls on the Hill for potentially saying no more of these amphibious vehicles. Personally, I don't think that will happen. Maybe there'll be some safety requirements that will be put in place, which would be great, so you don't have these families who get these horrible calls about family members who were just on a sightseeing tour and never returned from that tour from Table Rock Lake in Branson, Missouri. And of course, it happened on Thursday, and it took a crane to salvage it up from the bottom where it sank on Thursday night with those thunderstorms that pretty much brought near hurricane strength winds, is what they're saying. And that's what is believed to be part of the reason why it dropped the way it did and how many people perished as a result of that. And I do think there will be more safety requirements. I do not think this will be the end of the duck tour, despite a former National Transportation Safety Board chairman saying that you should ban the duck boat tours. I don't believe that's going to happen. I think there are too many of them. There's too much power in that, and it'll more likely be a case of, okay, we're going to have some regulations that are going to be put in place, and they're going to have to meet these regulations, period. Speaking of a dangerous wherever you are, and I know a lot of you are listening to me on the East Coast, you may have been suffering from the fatigue of the rain, but worse still, it could be flooding that you're dealing with. In the East, especially the Mid-Atlantic area, and I've just spent a bunch of time there in Charleston. I saw downtown Charleston flooded out. I was at a conference speaking, and I was supposed to get to the conference, and it was bumped a little bit later because of the streets being blocked off and people having a hard time getting down, and was supposed to make another stop, and it was impossible. The people there know that this happens, but they say it's some of the worst that they've seen. These onslaughts of heavy rains are expected this week to continue, and they're talking about potentially dangerous, even life-threatening flooding, according to the National Weather Service. As I saw that with my own eye in the Carolinas, at least 10 million people are under flood watches or warnings. Wow. Additional rainfall. I want to hear how much this is. We say we measure things, right? 5 to 10 inches possible somewhere in the central Appalachian Mountains to the coast of the Mid-Atlantic and North Carolina area, to be very specific, because I listened to what the AccuWeather meteorologists were saying, and because I saw what happens when that onslaught of rain is triggered, it's crazy how fast it comes down, and that's part of it, because of the amount of rainfall in such a short amount of time in these low-lying areas, like Charleston, where I was, because it's called the Low Country. It's impossible to drain it correctly. They're working, for example, there, they're working underground trying to fix the system there, but that's going to take years and years and years and years and years to do that. If that's not going to happen within this year or even into next year. And I wanted to give a shout out at the top of the show. You know, we do this Invade the Man Cave thing quite often on America Tonight, and if you haven't seen it, I've got a podcast out called Invade the Man Cave. You can go get that on iTunes, just subscribe to it, or any of the other platforms that are out there. But Richie Incognito, you might know that name, or maybe you don't. He joined an anti-bullying campaign 5 years ago after this crazy incident with a teammate, with Jonathan Martin, and it made huge news, especially in the era of social media. And 5 years after that happened, after he was suspended for bullying his teammate, he has now pumped out there that he's joined an anti-bullying nonprofit as the national ambassador. And I think this is terrific, because there's too much of this. It's outrageous what happens in the schools and how it affects so many kids. The suicide rates up for good kids that are just being picked on through social media and other forms. So anyway, Incognito put out two videos. He posted them on Twitter. He apologized for what he did previously and some of his bullying acts. He didn't specify, but he revealed that he's partnering with Boo to Bullying, it's called, and they want to eradicate bullying. And the former offensive lineman posted about a fundraising event, and I think this nonprofit has legs. There are other anti-bullying nonprofits, and bravo for that. I know in some schools I have cousins whose children have to actually sign a form saying that they won't bully, and they think they have two strikes, not even three strikes, and they're suspended from school if they post something, because you think of Twitter, Facebook, all the different ways that you can bully, and it's a terrible, terrible epidemic. All right, stay with us. Many more great things coming your way next on the start of this week on America Tonight.
Have you had credit challenges, divorce, bankruptcy, or just haven't established your credit yet? If so, getting a decent car loan can be tough. The good news is that there is a place where you can get a car loan at a fair price, regardless of your credit situation. Auto Loan Express can make it happen now when you visit newcar99.com. Here's the deal. If you have a regular job, then there's no reason to keep taking the bus or repairing that old junker. Go to newcar99.com today and fill out our simple online application. We accept over 99% of applicants and can get you behind the wheel of your new car with just a few strokes of your keyboard. No hassles. No third degree. Just fill out the simple online application and start shopping for your next car. So when you're ready to get on the road with your new car loan, visit us online at newcar99.com, where we accept 99% of all applications. Newcar99.com. If you have a job, then you qualify. Here's to you and your new car. Visit newcar99.com. Newcar99.com.
This is Jessica Armand, founder of My Magic Mud. Our team helped organize a successful effort to remove fluoride from our city's water supply. This is our passion. My Magic Mud Oral Care purifies and brightens your smile naturally. GCN listeners, please support my family business by purchasing our product from your local health food store. We're also available at CVS Pharmacy. Or visit us at MyMagicMud.com and take 10% off now with coupon code GCN10.
If you owe any money to the IRS, you need to call **1234. That's **1234. Uncle Sam has the power to make your life miserable. You could stop the IRS collections process right now by calling **1234. When you call the Tax Defense Center, you'll get free information on how you can reduce or eliminate your back taxes, including penalties and interest. **1234. **1234 could save you thousands on your back taxes. You could also be helped if you have unfiled returns, a tax lien, wage garnishment, bank levy, or if you have entered into a payment plan and can't make the payments. It's your hard-earned money. Stop Uncle Sam right now. Make the call that could help you end the worry today. **1234. That's **1234. **1234. **1234.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
All right, let's dive into the mailbag here on America Tonight. Once again, if something is burning in your mind and you want to get it off your chest, please reach out to me. You can do that at katedelaneyradio.com, katedelaneyradio.com. Easiest way to find me. So speaking of what's burning, it really is the duck boat. I believe that many people in this audience have taken them, and this is the reason why I'm getting notes like this one from Al, who says, Kate, I feel so badly for those people. I can't wrap my brain around the fact that 17 people were killed because of what happened on that duck boat. Didn't they see what those thunderstorms were doing? I can only imagine what the National Transportation Safety Board is going to come up with, but it is shocking to me that they were allowed to go out in those conditions. I have to say, as much as I've enjoyed taking my family on duck boat tours, and I've done about 4 of them, I don't know that I would go on one again. I certainly wouldn't go if I thought the weather was bad, and you can believe I would be checking the weather no matter what they're saying on the duck boat. I think too often we trust the people on some of these tours to be able to protect us, but certainly not if they're not paying attention to what can often happen where it turns into one of those flash situations. But again, my heart goes out to those families. I don't know how you recover from something like that. Then there was one more, so I'm not going to totally dwell on it. This one was from Michael, listening to us in the great state of Florida. He says, Kate, the question that so many are asking is, would life jackets have made this tragedy better or worse? And from what I understand, it's not necessarily a given that the life preservers would have helped the people in those boats if they had been wearing them, because of where they were stored and how they had to get them and the fact that they would float to the top. If they had floated to the top, would they have been there stuck in the ceiling and would have drowned that way? You have to believe there's an easier way to do this. What do you think? The way that I saw the video that someone shot, it was so quick, and then poof, the boat was down. And it seems like it did it just take that plunge, and then that's when it automatically it started taking on water. If you had had the life preserver on, could the people have just jumped into the water? But it seems as though it was just... it just kind of got sucked into this vortex. I certainly don't know. It took on the water quickly. Some people survived it, but you know, the fact that so many didn't, and they were probably trying to grab life jackets, probably trying to figure out ways off the duck boat, I have to assume that they got trapped and couldn't get free from that. If you're trapped against the canopy, and I've been on them, as I have mentioned before, I would think that would cause you to drown. There's that extra flotation that would maybe push you up there, and it would make it impossible to get away from it. How would you get out from underneath it, especially under the conditions? It wasn't calm weather. If it's calm and you're there and then you are jumping off, that's one thing. But I think because it was so quick, and then you've got that canopy there. I mean, look, was it made for tourist cruises? There's another question to ask yourself. These were World War II vehicles that transported soldiers and supplies, people and supplies between ships and shore. That was it. That's what they did. Now it's a tourist cruise. And it does make you think, I mean, how safe are these? I mean, they're used everywhere. There's tour companies everywhere. Boston, Washington, D.C., and there's been controversy over this before. The boat sits low in the water. So that would mean, you would think, you could be susceptible to being overcome by water, especially if you have big waves. In the case of that lake, the waves were huge, so they were 5-foot waves. And that would be easy to see how you could be overtaken, certainly, by that. Let's move on to something else. Let's move on to this one. This one is from Mac. Kate, it's been a long time since I've sent you an email. I was thinking about you the other day. I download the shows and listen to them when I'm traveling. I suggest that's a great way for people to do that. And since I was traveling, and I know you travel a lot, I was wondering, do you feel safe on Uber and Lyft? And I'm assuming that you take Uber or Lyft or both, whatever one's quicker. And it's interesting to see what's happening with those two companies and how big it has exploded for people who travel, whether for business or for pleasure. It's so funny you say that, because I just had a really good experience with Lyft, and my husband, the other who you hear on the show, refuses to take Uber because of the CEO and what's happened with that company. And I've had good experiences with the Lyft drivers. You know, it's a question of where you're getting picked up and how quickly. And I say good experiences, but I was stuck on an island in Charleston, which was completely our fault because of the traffic was horrific getting out there. It's that one sunny day in the middle of all that rain, and it led to having to wait for the Lyft driver who was stuck in 40 plus minutes of traffic. But once she got us, it was terrific, and we just walked up a couple of blocks. And so my experience has been more with Lyft actually than Uber, and I haven't had any problems with that. You know, you go on the app, you just put in your location, you can see how close they are to you, you see the driver's name and what they're driving, and I like it. Although I had a conversation with a cab driver in not too long ago when I was in New York this year back in May, and he told me how awful it is for the cab drivers because Lyft and Uber are cheaper and they can barely afford to keep the cabs on the road. Some of these guys with medallions for what they have to pay. So that war maybe between cab drivers and these ride services are almost over in some cities, because it's not affordable for the drivers, which is crazy to think about. You know, the old yellow cab, put your hand out, call somebody. Certainly at airports it's still big. You see the long cab lines, even though there are people that are taking those other services, there's definitely still people that are jumping in cabs. I witnessed that, you know, throughout my travels this year, whether it was in New York at LaGuardia Airport, cabs were big still, or even in Charleston, actually, there was a big line for getting in a cab, and they were people were lined up in a line, and they were pulling up and threw your stuff in, and that was it. But I think younger people especially, so when I say younger, for all of you listening who are my millennial pals, you're most exclusively, unless you just can't get one, you're pretty much using one of those services, and because it's easy, you know how to do it, and you just get on your app, and that's it. It's all about jumping on the app. All right, here's another one. This one is from Al. Wow, Al, you've been emailing us a ton lately. And Al asks, what is the latest on Deal Your Own Destiny? So the latest on Deal Your Own Destiny is it's going to be up for pre-sale in probably 2 weeks. Forbes is going to give me the timetable of that. It's already done. I've seen it. It's fabulous. I say fabulous because I'm excited that after this year-long process, it's done and it looks really great. And I'll make that available through pre-sale. And then after pre-sale, of course, you can just be able to jump on Amazon or Barnes & Noble or any of those kinds of places and get the book. And it was a labor of love, really putting it together. And I talk about how I arrived in the, you know, onto the shows, into the radio world and whatnot. So thanks for that question. How about this one? This one is from Niles, who says, Kate, what do you make of Papa John and the founder saying he shouldn't have resigned? Was that a quick move because he didn't want to deal with the publicity? Well, I think that somebody, a crisis communicator, has probably talked to him about the better way to handle it or what they thought was the better way to handle it. But John Schnatner, rather, is the Papa John founder, and he's now saying he's not going to go away, that he's going to put up a fight over a mistake that he made in resigning as chairman of his huge pizza empire. He wrote a letter to the company's board. He did that over the weekend. And he's saying that they acted on rumor and innuendo in asking him to step down without conducting an investigation into his use of a racial slur, rather, during a training session that happened back in May. So this all of a sudden came out of the woodwork, is what he's saying. And he said there's more facts to this, and once people hear the facts, they'll have a different view of what's happened here. Schnatner lawyered up, of course, and his lawyer is Patricia Glazer, and she's advising the board that they would be acting illegally if they try to remove him as director, and that then the individual directors would be liable for damages if they did that. If you think of his piece of the pie, so to speak, he owns about 30% of his own, of this company that he started. And boy, you don't want to mess with Patricia Glazer. So this is going to be interesting to watch business-wise how this all unfolds for the John Schnatner and what happens with Papa John's because of those comments. And some of the stores, they're seeing a drop off on orders, and there are people that have the Papa John sponsorship that are thinking about dropping it, and this is just going to get hotter and hotter and hotter. I don't think he's not going away, and he's saying I'm up for the fight. Hang with us. I'll meet you on the other side here on America Tonight.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of MyPillow. And like all of you out there, I had problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented MyPillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. MyPillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News.
President Trump is investigating whether to revoke the security privileges of five former Obama administration officials. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders explains why top secret security clearance may be going away for John Brennan, James Comey, James Clapper, Susan Rice, and Andrew McCabe.
The president is exploring the mechanisms to remove security clearance because they've politicized and in some cases monetized their public service and security clearances, making baseless accusations of improper contact with Russia or being influenced by Russia against the president is extremely inappropriate.
Today, President Trump spoke at a Made in America event at the White House.
I remember when I was growing up, let's see, Made in America all over the place. A little bit Made in the USA, but Made in America. Everything had Made in America. And we're starting that again. And it's happening again, as you know.
Your final numbers on Wall Street today, the Dow Jones was down 12 points. This is USA Radio News.
Hey, travelers, do you want to save money on your next flight? Then pick up the phone and call. That's right, call, because the best prices are not online. They're with SmartFares. See, SmartFares has special deals with the airlines. When they have unsold seats, they use SmartFares to fill them. So you get airline tickets at ridiculously low prices. Our prices are too low to publish online. With the extra money you'll save, you can book another trip or treat yourself to dinner or shopping. So stop searching all of those travel sites to find the lowest price on your next flight. Let one of our SmartFares expert travel agents find ridiculously low prices for you. Call SmartFares today and get the best price on your next flight. Guaranteed. Also, save up to 50% off business and first class tickets.
800-871-3291. 800-871-3291. Again, that's 800-871-3291.
Non-attorney paid spokesperson. Could your house go into foreclosure? Are you behind on your mortgage payments? Does it seem like the bank has no interest in helping you save your home? And you feel like you have nowhere to turn for help? Then we have good news for you. Foreclosure Protection Services can help save your home as they specialize in foreclosure assistance. That's all they do. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, being threatened with foreclosure, have been denied a loan modification, or been the victim of a predatory loan, it's critical that you call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. Their network of attorneys and their agents are available to speak to you now. If you're behind on your mortgage payments, Foreclosure Protection Services can help stop the foreclosure process. Call today before it's too late. New laws are in effect and may save your home. Call Foreclosure Protection Services now at 800-667-9035. 800-667-9035. That's 800-667-9035.
Welcome to Forbes Books at Bedtime with Kate Delaney and Greg Stebbin.
Really thrilled about our next guest coming up. Anna Wayada is with us. She's in our virtual green room, as it were, as we like to say here on your nightly fix of Forbes. And what's really cool about Anna is she's one of 19 children, which is crazy insane. I can't even wrap my brain around that. Greg, you're not one of 19 children, right?
No, I'm one of two children, and that's twice as many as I would prefer, frankly.
Oh, that's interesting. That's like me, one of two, exactly. And she's an expert on generations and the differences between them and how do we bridge the gap. Think of meetings, think of companies, and she really is the go-to person. There's no question about it. So she's got a busy schedule, and we're really excited that she's able to spend some time with us. Anna, thanks so much for joining us.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks, Kate.
So since I set you up that way, I'm sure people always ask you this, and it's on your website, too. You have a photograph of your family, 19 children. So where are you in the lineup?
You know, I come in at the very end. I'm the youngest girl. I'm the 18th child.
Wow.
And you know what, Greg? If you need a couple extras, I'm happy to bring a couple of siblings. Because, you know, between my siblings, they also have 56 children. So I'm on auntie 56 times. And their kids already have 48. So my family life really was a petri dish of the generation. Kind of an ongoing dissertation my whole life just to survive the generational dynamics.
So I could not be more different in my family background. I have one brother. I hope he's listening because if this is news to him, he hasn't been paying attention. But he's like having 18 siblings. He's a handful. He's a lot of handfuls. And neither of us have kids. So my life experience is exactly the opposite of yours, which is... It's pretty staggering. I love the photo of you on your website in your mom's arms. There's little Anna and all her brothers and sisters. You're all very cute and charming. And look where you are today. You're talking to us.
Exactly. You know, and that's such a great example of generational dynamics in action, because in that picture is a GI generation dad, a traditionalist mom, many baby boomer brothers and sisters, and Gen Xer brothers and sisters. And now we add all the millennials in that are nieces and nephews, and then their kids are actually Gen Z, or what I call the global. So right there, you have the six generations colliding.
See, I think Apple created the panorama feature on the iPhone just for your family, because if you didn't have panorama, you couldn't get them all in.
It's so true. I remember one of the weddings we were at, the wedding photographer had scheduled like 45 minutes to take the family picture. And we're so used to getting everyone in and figuring it out and, you know, without even the panorama, that he turned around after, you know, getting the camera ready and boom, everybody was there. And he's like, I can get you all in one shot. We're like, yeah, we know how to get close. We get all swooshed.
He was disappointed because that was less shots that he could sell you. If he had to capture you in 10 shots, it was 10 times the revenue. So I'm really interested on it. You do a lot of speaking, obviously, about generations in general, but also about millennials.
Yeah.
And everywhere I go, and I go to a lot of conferences for Forbes and for Forbes Books, everywhere I go, I hear people frustrated, upset, angry, clueless about how to work with millennials. I never hear millennials complaining about the older folks they work with. I hear older folks complaining about the millennials. What can we do about that?
Well, I have to say the millennials are complaining about the older folks. We're just not always listening. But let me tell you what we can do about that. Where my work over the last 20 years in generational research has brought me to is to understanding that each generation has a code. I call it their generational code. It's a little bit like an algorithm that's running in the background. And when you understand their generational code or the algorithm and the variables to it, it gives you a new perspective on how to address, to lead, to manage, to sell to work with the different generations. So let me give you a little example of what that code might sound like. What we know from knowledge studies is that about age 8, our brains start to make logic. If this, than that. And between the ages of 8 to 18, we're observing the world around us, the events, the leaders, the icons. And when there's an event and it's paired with an emotion, it creates an imprint. The higher the emotion, the deeper the imprint. Hmm. So when we want to understand, why do the millennials do what they do? Why do they expect what they expect? Or let's be honest, demand what they demand, right? What is shaping that? What's driving that? My perfect example of this. My bonus mom is in her 90s right now, and I call her bonus because my mom passed away when I was very young, and my dad remarried her best friend who brought six children to us, the last six in the 19, and she grew up with some formative events of the Great Depression, World War II, and so a couple Christmases ago, we were making a lasagna for one of our family potlucks, because you can imagine, no one person can make enough food to feed all that, right? Everybody's got to pitch in a little bit, but we're making a lasagna for the potluck. And we cover it in tinfoil. We take it off to the dinner. At the end of the night, I was wiping down the now empty lasagna plate. And I looked over at my sweet bonus mom in her 90s. And what do you think she was doing with the tinfoil?
Cleaning it to reuse it.
She was. She was saving it. She was wiping it down, smoothing out the wrinkles, cleaning it for reuse. Because her formative events that shaped her algorithm or her generational code tell her that you need to conserve and keep everything. Now, today, she doesn't need to do that. She has plenty of resources, but she still has actions and reactions based off those formative experiences. So when it comes to our millennials, we need to understand, what are their formative experiences that are shaping affecting their choices. And once we understand that, all of a sudden they become a little less frustrating to us because we realize that they're not attempting to be demanding or what so many people love to say entitled, but they have been raised by baby boomer parents and Gen Xers who said, do what you love and the money will follow. You need to go in there and you need to be strong. You need to ask for what you want, speak up, stand up. And so they do. They arrive in the workplace and they are very excited because they want to make a difference. They want to have an impact. But they also come in with positive self-esteem that their parents worked really hard to make sure they had it. And so when you think about it, our traditionalists came into the workplace and they thought of themselves as laborers. They'd come through the Great Depression, their parents had. They were just grateful to have a job. And so the loyalty of the two-way street in an organization was you work hard for the organization works hard, and they take care of you. Then come our baby boomers. And they had 80 million peers. So everything was a competition. So then they got on with the company. Loyalty was still two ways, but it was really about working up the corporate ladder, putting in 20 years so you could get ahead of your peers. So our baby boomers think of themselves as employees. They are moving up the ladder. They're working super hard, but they can't move because moving meant getting behind through their formative years. And so when you ask a baby boomer, what do? They say, I work four. So that employee generational DNA comes forward. Now, our Gen Xers came of age through the Great Recession of the 1980s, and so their baby boomer parents had bled company colors. They'd worked 80-hour work weeks like a badge of honor. They'd totally been dedicated. But in the middle of their formative years, in the recession of the 80s, they came home with a little slip of paper at the dinner table. What color was that pink? It was a pink slip, right? And so our Gen Xers became free agents in their mentality. They get on with the company, they work super hard, but they know if something cataclysmic happens, they need to be ready with their resume fresh, their bullet points hot, and they need to be ready to scoop up their skill set and move on. Our millennials come along, and loyalty as a two-way street, long gone. They've never seen that as part of their DNA. They don't expect to stay with the company that they're currently at for their whole career trajectory. They're going to be in the workplace till they're 80. So they consider themselves to be talent. You ask them, what do? And they tell you what they're passionate about, what their talents are, what their gifts are. Now, our Gen Xers, you ask them what they do, and they say, I'm in, and they give you the industry. So when we're looking at these different dynamics, we need to understand what shaped those formative years when they were identifying with the world and how the things work. Now, the Gen Zs, the what I call the globals, come along, and they will be influencers because they already have followings on Instagram and Pinterest and YouTube, and they know that their real power is the channel that people follow them on. And people pay a lot of money to them as influencers to get to their audience, to get to their network, their hyper network. And so all of these different generational codes make sense to each person in that generation because that was their formative year of imprints.
Boy, that is crazy. What an amazing timeline you gave us of what we're seeing now in companies. We're almost up against it, but from the millennial point of view and from a corporation, if I run a corporation and I'm at the C-level, and we're going to continue this with you in another segment, but how do I initially keep millennials engaged and then the globals?
Yeah, that's a great question. The first thing is you said the right word. Engaged, because they come into the workplace ready to contribute. And that looks like collaboration from day one, week one. Collaboration not only on what am I going to do right now, but where do I go from here? So they want to say, listen, I can find other job opportunities by jumping online, jumping on LinkedIn, jumping on Career Builder. They can find all of these different job opportunities. Why don't you let me know where I can go from here inside the organization so that I can map out a career path within the organization? Don't just say, well, you've only been here for 6 weeks or 6 months or expect me to stay till 6 years before we have the conversation. Engage me by asking about what are my personal goals and then helping me map out how I can get there from here from the very beginning. Even in the interview, they would like to know, what is your ecosystem within the organization to help me develop my talent? Because I see myself as talent and I want to keep myself fresh, have learning experiences, and they're looking for those learning experiences inside your organization. One of the really great ways from the beginning is to have a mentoring program that's not just one way. It's not just down, but it's mentoring up as well. It's mentoring across and having people be able to really be collaboratively engaged in designing their experience.
Love that. Hang on, Anna. We're going to do another segment with you. This is so fascinating, Greg. So thanks so much for being on your nightly fix of Forbes, and we're going to catch up with you again on another night.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And our crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
It's a no-brainer. A Big Berkey water filter is the one you need, period. You need a water filter that removes chlorine, fluoride, pharmaceuticals, BPA, and other endocrine disruptors, pesticides, bacteria, viruses, and much more, right? And does it all at only 2 cents per gallon. Get the original and most trusted name in gravity water filtration, Big Berkey. And now GCN listeners receive 5% off ceramic filter systems using code GCN. Call or click 1-877-99-BERKEY or BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY.
If you or anyone you love has been diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, your diagnosis may be the result of job-related exposure to asbestos, and you may be entitled to compensation. Over $30 billion in trusts have been set aside for individuals who have been affected by asbestos exposure. How do you protect your rights and get the compensation you deserve? Call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. Capital Legal Group is one of the nation's resources for settlement of lung cancer and mesothelioma cases. Law firms have successfully recovered over $2.7 billion dollars for their clients in all 50 states, and claims have been paid in as little as 60 days. If you or a family member were diagnosed with lung cancer, asbestosis, or mesothelioma, call Capital Legal Group now at 800-400-LUNG. We'll open a no-cost case review on your behalf. A history of tobacco use or cigarette smoking will not disqualify your case. Visit 800-400-LUNG.com or call 800-400-LUNG. Call 800-400-5864 now. That's 800-400-LUNG.
Always fun to catch up with Michael Loftus, comedian, writer extraordinaire. He's been involved with shows like Charlie Sheen's Anger Management, The George Lopez Show, and currently Kevin Can Wait, which is America's number one sitcom. And his star is already crested and rising, so I'm surprised he could even find some time to talk to us. But Michael, thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks for calling. Here's how I made it happen. I'm going to be late for work. That's when I made a decision. I would rather talk to you than show up for work on time.
Oh, I hope it's not the Kevin James deal that you get in real big trouble.
It'll be Kevin. I'll walk in. He will look at his watch and go, whoa, guy, running late, huh?
Running late.
It'll be fine.
So doing sitcoms, and this is great and relatable to people who speak and people who perform and people trying to write, frankly, and come up with material. Where do you start? How does that idea become something that ends up on TV?
Well, it's really, most of it is just drawn seriously from real life. Like the second episode of Kevin Can Wait, in our first season here, I messed up my rotator cuff a few years ago, and I've been doing physical therapy, blah, blah, blah. So I couldn't sleep the way I normally sleep. And so because I had to sleep on my other side, it, like, messed everything up. It, like, one little thing, like, messed up my whole world. And so I was talking to Kevin about that as we were talking about possible stories, and it cracked him up. He just thought that's too funny. Like, you sleep different one night, and then you see the world differently. Like, you know, you see the way other people sleep, blah, 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 blah. So we just opened that up to all the writers, and we came up with a full-blown story that Kevin is forced to sleep on the other side of his body, and he sees the world differently, and then he starts seeing plots, and his wife's trying to take over his world, and it became a very, very, very funny episode. But yeah, most of the shows that we do are somehow ripped from someone's real life.
So you would tell people that's what you need to do. You need to be very observant, right? Walk around, look at what people are doing, think about your own life.
Yeah, yeah, I really would. I mean, comedy is there. Comedy is there. Sometimes there's a whole lot of tragedy, but there's always irony. There's always hypocrisy. And you just have to start to learn to flip it, where most people see something. I mean, Seinfeld is the best example of that ever. Look at all the mundane things that were just elevated to the most important thing in the world. It's fantastic. Watch
when
Seinfeld.
Yeah, I agree with you there. So when you first got into this, did you just have a knack for that? Did you have a knack for looking at things a little bit differently?
Yeah, I think so. I think so. I'm the youngest of five kids, big Irish Catholic family, you know, and I didn't get enough attention. Something's fundamentally wrong with me. I'm like, I think most comedians are, like, fundamentally broken on some level. There's something wrong with a person who gets in, seriously, who gets up in front of a room of, like, 250 total strangers and says, I'm going to say something, and then it'd be great if you guys would laugh and give me approval. I mean, there's really, like, there's something, if you just looked at it from a scientific level, you'd be like, oh, what's wrong with that poor lab rat that he wants the other lab rats to like him so much? So you just kind of learn over the years, you know, how to just twist everything just a little bit.
Can somebody who's not funny become funny?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Just going to take a hell of a long time. Yeah, you can muddle through the process. It's just easier to work with people who are, like, naturally funny. And that's the wonderful thing, and this is no BS. This is just straight up honest. When I was working with Charlie Sheen, say what you will about Charlie Sheen, he is naturally gifted. He has a sense of timing and a sense of whatever it is, he's got that thing where he's just funny. Kevin James has it in spades. In spades. I wrote this bit for the show where he's making, you ever had that dip out of a bread bowl? You know, you get a loaf of bread, the circuit, and you dip it out. So he digs too far, he puts in the dip, and the dip starts pouring through. And then I wrote all this other stuff he could do to try to, you know, to try to plug up the hole and blah, blah, blah. So you give him something that's relatively funny. You know, I'll give that a 5 on a scale of 1 to 10. Then you give it to him, who's such a naturally gifted comedian, and he just blows it up. Now all of a sudden, it's, you know, a 5 turns into an 11. It's fantastic.
Yeah, so he has that ability, like you say, but other people and people that are listening to us, they could hone that skill. Is it a thing of fear? You just have to jump in, right?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and this is what I tell when I'm out on the road and I'm doing stand up or whatever. People are like, "Oh, I'm thinking about getting into stand up. What should I do?" Start. And don't base anything off your first night. You have to commit to doing it at least 10 times. And then you can think, well, is this something that I really want to do? Is this making me happy or is it making me miserable? And if it's making you happy, then keep going. If it's making you miserable, we'll try things differently or stop doing it. Not everybody has to be a comedian.
Yeah.
It's the same thing with writers. People are like, oh, I want to be a writer. I want to be a writer. Well, here, it's easy. Start writing. Boom, you're a writer. And the only way to get better is to keep writing.
Yeah, and so that's what you did too as well, right? When you sit down, because you're writing. It might be in your head, you're thinking of ideas, but you still have to flush it out on the page.
Exactly. And there's a couple trade secrets, but I will keep, well, secret, because I'm not going to help everybody that much.
Come on, give us one. Come on, Michael.
Okay, one trade secret. and this is for real, and this is something that it took me a long time to learn. When you write, go from the beginning and go to the end, right? That makes a lot of sense when you say it, when you hear it. Start at the beginning, go to the end. What a lot of people do is they start at the beginning, they get to the middle, then they go, oh, you know what? I'm going to change the beginning. And then they go all the way back and they start over again. And they never finish, they never finish, they never finish. They never complete a movie, they never complete a script, they never complete a story. You're going to do a rewrite anyway. Start from the beginning, go all the way to the end. Then go back and change your beginning and work on your rewrite. That's a huge one. That's a huge one. That's like a million-dollar gift that I just gave away. You're welcome, America.
Michael, thank you. I love that. Start at the beginning. You're right, because you know what? I have written two books, but I've done that. The first book took me 10 years because I did exactly what you said.
Do you know who else did that?
Who?
J.R.R. Tolkien.
When he was
writing Lord of the Rings, like the second most popular book, it's like right below the Bible, he kept rewriting it and rewriting it and rewriting it. He was doing that longhand. That's why it took so long.
Yeah,
I'm a geek. I've just admitted that. I'm a Tolkien geek. I like Star Wars. I live in my mother's basement and I play video games.
That's why you're so, so funny. Is it more competitive now than ever in this field?
Yes. Yes. You would think with all the different shows and all the different cable outlets that there's always more jobs. There's always more writers and more competition. It's crazy. We looked it up. I was on a show a million years ago for NBC, and we looked it up. And it's literally, there are more jobs for brain surgeons than there are people who write comedy for television.
Wow.
I have a harder job than a brain surgeon. So really what people should say, like when they see a difficult situation, it's not like, oh, hey, guy, it's not brain surgery. No, hey, it's not sitcom writing. How about that?
Yeah, there you go. So to hit it out of the park, your trade secret works, certainly. Look for the humor every single day and sometimes what is tragedy, and just keep at it, right? Be tenacious?
Yeah, yeah. Be tenacious. And here's the wonderful thing. There are more outlets than ever. I mean, if you want to be a writer, so many, like, that book, it was just a movie with Matt Damon, The Martian. That's a self-published book. That was a guy who wrote Code in Silicon Valley, and he's like, I'm going to write this book about a guy who gets stranded on Mars. And he didn't care that there had already been movies like Robinson Crusoe on Mars, and there's the movies, Cats. He just did it, and he self-published. And it got into the right hands, and it can happen. The American dream is alive and well. The great American novel is alive and well. Unfortunately, journalism is taking a big dirt nap. Journalism is dead, but we can still write fiction.
We can still write fiction. On the performance side, how do you nail it on the performance side? So like a lot of speakers listening to us, what can they do? You got any good tricks for us, a trade secret? Nerves get to you?
Yeah. Nerves get you. Unfortunately for that one, I think you just have to do it once again. You know, hey, imagine your whole audience is wearing their underwear. No, that doesn't really do it. That's just something you have to overcome. It's such, here's what I would say. And this is another like huge trade secret. Get up in front of a room full of strangers and just stand there for like 10 seconds. 10 seconds is a very, very, very long time. Stand there for 10 seconds and don't say a word. And guess what? The world will not end. The world will not end, and their opinion of you does not matter. And it's just a giant, the more you put it off for those people who are afraid of public speaking, the more you put it off, the more powerful that monster gets, and the bigger that fear is going to get. You just have to go out there and tackle it head on. And the world won't end, and everything will be fine, and everything will just continue on as normal. And you'll be like, wow, that wasn't as bad as I thought it was going to be. I didn't lose control of my bladder in front of those people. I didn't vomit. I didn't, take a giant poo on the stage. I'm okay. And then the next time you'll be a little bit better. And then you'll, God help you, you'll start having fun.
I love it. Perfect place to end this. Please apologize to Kevin James for us, but we appreciate the fact that we could steal some time away.
Oh, it's always great. And for more information about me and my wonderful life, go to theloftistparty.com. It's the website that's taken America by storm. See, that's the other thing. If you want to be a performer, if you want to be a writer, don't be afraid to shamelessly plug your website, theloftistparty.com.
Michael, thank you.
Always great to talk to you.
If you know Kate Delaney, then you know that her lovable golden retriever, Mahalo, makes her world go around. So when Kate started looking for a high-quality dog food for him, she settled on Life's Abundance, the all-stage grain-free food. It's rated 5 stars by Dog Food Advisor, and that's a win. In fact, Kate loved the food so much that she's now repping the food at kateskibble.com. It's full of high-quality protein and nutrients, omega-3s and more. Kateskibble.com is just what Mahalo needs to be happy and healthy. Grab a bag at kateskibble.com.
You have been lied to, generation after generation, time after time after time.
If you follow the money, then you understand why America's in the condition it's in.
Now, you created the Federal Reserve in 1913 through lies. You create 9/11. Through 9/11, you're fighting a war on terror, and now all of a sudden you go into Iraq, which was another lie.
This book will open people's eyes. Order now at KillingUncleSamBook.com. KillingUncleSamBook.com.